There's crazy stuff going on in this world, man. There's this stuff going on, and you just got to trust the Lord. And Lord's going to take care of things. I talked to Tommy a little while ago, the TJ. They cut some cancer out of his head today, skin cancer. And he said, they said it was kind of normal because of what TJ had been through, all the chemo and everything, and all the skin cancer. And he said about a half a dollar. They took some out before, and they went back in and took more out. And he says about the size of a half a dollar. So y'all pray for continue praying for TJ. He's 22 years old now. And the Lord's kept him alive, and where he, they were saying there was no hope in a sense. And then he's still alive. So y'all pray for him and pray for Tommy and all the kids out to the camp. Revelation chapter 15, and we covered some of this last time. It says, and verse 1, this is the fourth time you're going through the tribulation period, the fourth account. He says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. There, you're getting insight on around the throne. You're getting insight to the third heaven. Paul said, I was called up to the third heaven over in 2 Corinthians. He said, I was called up to the third heaven and heard words that he couldn't speak. Take your Bible over, look over in 2 Corinthians. Look in 2 Corinthians and, I think it's around chapter 12. And when he was called up to the third heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. And let me find it here. What is it? 2-2? 12-2. All right. 12-2. All right. 12-2. If I can get to it. Pages. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one called up into the third heaven. You say, the Mormons teach there's seven steps into heaven and all that, seven grades and all that stuff. That's a bunch of baloney. The third heaven is around God's throne. The first heaven is the atmosphere where the birds fly. And that's, we call it the heavens, And the second heaven is the planets and the stars and all that. And the third heaven is around God's throne. And when it's not a different level of going to heaven. That's what the Mormons teach. And it's Paul said, I was called up to the third heaven. And that's where around God's throne. He said, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was called up into heaven, into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Paul said, I didn't want nobody to think I was more holier than, and all that. But look what he says. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. God knows how to humble you and keep you down, and God will give you something to keep you down when you're, we all of us have pride. I mean, we got pride, now they call it gay pride. Now they got gay pride, but we got pride, and pride in our race. We got pride in everything, and God knows how to keep you down, keep your pride down. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble, and he wants you to humble yourself before him. And unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He said, I asked God three times to take it away. And here Paul was healing people, raised the dead and all that. And here's the apostle, prince of the apostles, and he says, I asked God to heal me. And God said, no. God said, no. I always say God answers prayer, yes, no, not now. And he'll answer prayer that way. Yes, no, or not now. You leave it, you pray about it, you leave it in God's hand, he'll take care of it if he desires to. And he knows whether, I was telling somebody the other day, I tell people all the time, pray God give you $1 million. If he doesn't, he knows he can't trust you with it. Or it will hurt you or harm you. So God does things for our good. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost of God in Romans chapter 8, he's inside of us making intercession and groanings which cannot be uttered. God, he knows what to pray. And you're praying for something. You're saying, God, give me this. God, give me. And the Holy Ghost is saying, no, God, you know what he'll do there. You know he'll turn his back on you. You know. So you got somebody inside you that knows you, and he's saying, he's praying on your behalf, but for his glory, for God's glory, not yours. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what?
Weakness.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You want the power of God in your life. The power of God is not just for preaching. The power of God is for living. It's for witnessing. It's for your family. The power of God. You want the power of God in your life. You want the power of God in your family's life. You want the power of God on your children. And it's not just for, like I said, it's not for just for preaching. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. And when I am weak, then am I what? Hallelujah. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. That's the true sign of a humble Christian, is that you realize you're nothing. Without him, you're nothing. When I used to go to camp, there was a boy who used to come to camp, and he was the top 10 in the country of motocross racing. He was only like 17, 16, something. You all know who he is, Todd Bennett. And Todd would go to, and Todd told me later, he said, you used to get up and sing that song, used to irritate me. He said, but then I finally got it. I used to say, you're nothing but a nothing. And he said, all my life, all I heard was, you're something, you're great, you're not. And he said, man, that used to irritate me when he sang, you're nothing but a nothing. And what it is, you're nothing without him. You're nothing without him. And so Paul says, I was called up to the third heaven. Now, you find some people that get a glimpse into heaven. You get some glimpses in the word of, from the word of God, you get some glimpses into heaven. And, man, Paul got a glimpse. He got a glimpse. You know what? The old saying is, you can bring heaven to your soul. You can bring heaven to your soul. You start singing praises to God. You start getting in the book. God starts showing you things. You can bring heaven to your soul. You can have a little bit of heaven on earth. Have a little bit of heaven on earth and enjoy it and be able to enjoy the things of God and by being humble before him. And Paul says, I knew a man. So God, round about the throne, the Lord starts giving you insight about round the throne, what's going on up there. Everybody thinks you go to heaven. You just sit up there and you play a harp and you sit there. And you got this ring around your head, and you're sitting there going, man, I'm so bored. No, it ain't like that, man. It ain't like that at all. You think about what God made here and the way things are here and the way it is and how beautiful it is, what heaven's like. And you'd be able to enjoy it. No sin, no sorrow, none of that stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, back to Revelation chapter 15. I was going to show you something else, but it slipped my mind. He's Revelation 15, verse 2, I saw, as it were, the sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. And remember, that image of the beast has got a number and is of his name, and stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses. We talked about singing last time, about different kind of music. Back in the book of Exodus, they start singing. Moses started singing, Exodus chapter 15. He started singing praises to God. I believe this, if God gave us a mouth, and he has, we ought to sing praises to him. And the Bible says blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. It should be always a blessing, singing blessings and praising him and talking about him and glorifying him. That ought to be coming out of our mouth all the time, talking about him. And, we talk about other things. I talk about cars. I talk about this and that. We talk about things, but I'm talking about it should be down deep in our heart and down deep in our soul. If God looks down and he can go down into your heart, he ought to see that what you want is you want him, and you love him, and you'll sing praises to him. We come to church, we sing praises. Termite and I, he likes to sing that, When I was drifting out in sin, I had no peace, no joy within, but Jesus came and made me glad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. We sing that together. And he says, and I'll go, he saved my soul. And then I'll stop and he'll go, oh, bless his name. And then I'll go, oh, I'll never forget. And then I stop and he goes, the day he came. He's not even saved yet. He's not even saved yet. But man, I'll tell you what, teach your kids while they're little. The songs of Zion. Teach them songs about him and lifting him up. And boy, I'll tell you what, that'd be a great thing. The kids get that down deep while they're young. And that's why I'm praying for those kids out to camp. God, give them something. There's a couple kids out there right now that's not saved. They're not saved. A boy named Tyler and a boy named Zach, boy named Zach. They're not saved. And let's pray for them. And that's the one Brother Ron was talking about Sunday night. He said, I don't even believe there's a God. You know why the boy says that? Because his stepfather, he said, I hate my stepfather. And you know, people have influence. And he says, my stepfather. I had a preacher call me last night. He's Brother Allen. He was a young pastor. He called me up. He's on the way to a house. He said, pray for me. Will you pray for me? Give me some advice. I said, what do you need? He said, I'm going to a house where the father and mother got out of church, had been out of church, and a little 13-year-old girl just got raped. He said, what should I say? I started telling him just to listen and pray and tell him, don't fight each other. Don't blame each other. I said, tell him, make sure you call the police. I have the police involved and all that. And we got a call yesterday from Bryce. That boy, the girl got saved here just Sunday, I think it was. This young girl, 13 years old. Huh?
Carly.
And her mother went off and ended up going to jail, and she started cutting herself, and she cut herself so bad that they had to take her to the hospital. Now they got her in the Dover Behavioral Health. And just got saved. There's a lot of things to pray about. There's a lot of things you need to pray for people. And people going through stuff, and you say, man, I got my own problem. Well, you start praying for other people's problems, God will take care of yours. You start praying for that. He says, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. The Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Amen. He's my King, and I'm not ashamed to call him my King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. One day he'll have that rightful title that's going to be placed upon him. But right now he ought to have that title in our hearts. You know, old saying is, the old preacher used to say this. He said, either he's sitting on the throne in here or you. Either he's sitting on the throne in here and he's king. And he runs your life and he tells you what to do. Or you're doing that to him. You're either at his feet and he's sitting on the throne, or he's at your feet and you're sitting on the throne. It's up to you. It's up to you. He says, he's king of the saints, and who shall not fear thee, O Lord? He said, glorify thy name. You know, the Bible talks all the way through the book of Psalms, talking about his name. You know, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I mean, Brother Lee was telling me about Jehovah's Witnesses. They said, what's his name? What's his name? They always, at least he said something to him. He said, what did you say to that lady that was Jehovah's Witness? Well, she claimed she was Seventh-day Adventist first.
I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and I said, well, I'm a witness for Jehovah.
I'm a witness for Jehovah. That's a good answer right there.
She backed up and got all angry looking and went, you know that's his name, right? And I went, well, I wouldn't be witness for somebody I didn't know.
I wouldn't be witness to somebody I didn't know. Amen. I like that. When they say his name is Jehovah, I'll say his name, yes. I always tell them I'm the real Jehovah Witness. But I'll tell you what, man, he's got many names. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You know, they sing that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, let the like the fragrance after the rain. That's something about that name. Boy, you can call on that name anytime. And boy, you call on that. You know, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. that name of Jesus. And after this, verse 5, after this I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Notice it says the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. I was reading that thing about the priest going in Exodus. Go back over to Exodus here real quick. Go to Exodus chapter, look at Exodus chapter 27. Look at this. This is 20, no, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. It tells about Aaron and his son, and they start the priest's office. And Aaron and his son start this priest's office, and the Lord tells them what to dress in, tells them how they should look, what they should be wearing, everything. And he tells about the temple or the tabernacle, and he tells about everything to be made, how it's going to be made. And the Lord just, he keeps saying to Moses, like I showed you in the mountain, like I showed you in the mountain. Now, when they were doing service in the holy place, the priests wore the special garments. And if they didn't wear these special garments, the Lord would drop them dead if they didn't wear them. Because there was no sweat supposed to be coming off their body and all that stuff. Because they disobeyed what he said. And so you read all the way through here, you're reading about this, what the priest had to wear. Jesus Christ is going to have the same garments on. But he's got a garment in Revelation 19, comes back, he's got a garment dipped in blood, and he's wearing that thing. And I was reading over here about the priest wearing the garments, and look at verse 26 of 28, Exodus 28, 26. Thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate, in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod, inward, and two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shall put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, towards the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof, unto the rings of the ephod, with a lace of blue. And it says that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod and of the breastplate, be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplates of judgment upon his heart. And when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial, it says, for before the Lord continually, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment Urim and Thurim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. You know what Aaron's the type of? The type of Jesus Christ. He bears you. He bears you on his heart. He has you. Says, for and if he's going, anybody's going to judge you, it's going to be him. And it says, thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be a hole in the top of it, and in the midst thereof, and it shall have a binding of woolen work above around about the hole of it, as it were the hole of a hagaron. That is not to rent. And beneath upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet around the hem thereof, around the hem. No, here, look at this. Look at this. And bells of gold between them around about. So that priest had them bells on there as he was in the holy place, not in the Holy of Holies, but he had them bells on there, and they could hear it while he's in there working. So when Zechariah, John the Baptist, when his father was in there, he was doing the priest service, and as a Levite, he's in there, and they could hear him, and then all of a sudden he comes out, he couldn't speak. Man, and when we see Jesus Christ, when he comes out with the priestly garments, right now, you say, what is Jesus doing? Is he king right now? No, he's not king. He's king to us, but right now, he's making intercession. He's our high priest over in Hebrews chapter 7, 9, and it talks about him being our high priest, making intercession for us and for people to get saved. He's making intercession to the Father. Even though you say, how in the world can he be God and still make it? You know, it's just like the Bible says that he was before the throne, a lamb, and here he is making intercession for us. And the Bible talks about he is our mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. But he's up there mediating for us. Man, that's wild. But we're a part of him now after you're saved. You're part of him. Now go back to Revelation 15. You say, man, this is wild. I read this thing, I think, how much the Lord loves and cares. People, when people tell me that God doesn't love them and God doesn't care, they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. Look at back to Revelation chapter 15, verse 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with a golden girdle. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God for his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now, you read over in the book of Exodus that in Deuteronomy, when the temple was built and the glory of God comes in there, Moses couldn't even go in there because the glory of God was so heavy in there. You know what? It just got so thick in there that the glory of God was there. And when the Lord was there, my Lord. And heaven, what God was telling Moses to build down here was what was there. He was building everything duplicate of what was in there down here. Everything the same. Not as big up in heaven, a lot bigger. Down here is just a small token of what that is up there. Now, Revelation chapter 16. And I said, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And there's the image. They worship, the beast sets up an image, just like Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar about what he saw in the dream. So Nebuchadnezzar has it made. He has this great big image set up, and people had to bow down and worship the thing. And God puts a judgment on those that worship the image of the beast. And it says, the first went, poured out his vial upon the earth, and there was a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. I believe that thing would be with the sore that's going to come is because every man's going to receive a mark in right hand or in his forehead. I believe that thing turns into leprosy. Whatever it is that, you know, if it's a computer chip, if it's that mark, whatever it is, it turns into leprosy wherever that chip is. They've already found out a lot of times they put these lithium batteries in these chips and stuff, and they go bad. But this thing, God says, okay, I'm going to bring judgment on them, and he pours out this vial, and wherever the mark of the beast is, it's going to be in India, they put that mark right there. The Indian women, they have that mark right there. So if a man gets a mark in his head, so Revelation chapter 13 talks about the beast with the mark of the beast. Then Leviticus chapter 13 talks about leprosy, 13, number of 13. Look at this. Look back to Revelation 16, verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and became as blood. Everything you start reading this, you think, sounds like Exodus. Sounds like what Moses did with Egypt. And it says, and his vial upon the sea, and became as blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Notice, underline, living soul. Animals do have souls, but they're not eternal. The Bible says when Genesis, God made living souls. God made animals that they have a body, soul, and spirit. They have three, but they're not eternal. Man is made in God's image. Man has eternal soul. That's why it's not murder to kill an animal to eat it. It's not murder. Even if you kill an animal and let it lay, or you hit an animal. My wife hit a deer and it died. It's not murder. It's not vehicular homicide. God says God gave animals for man to enjoy and eat. And it says this, the third angel, every living soul, yeah, underline living soul, died in the sea, even the fish, soul, living soul. And it says, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. That Moses stood out there before Pharaoh, and he took his rod and touched the waters, and everything turned to blood. I heard the angel of the waters say, now there you go, look at that. How many of y'all knew there was an angel of water? There's an angel of water. The angels control the water. And you know, the Bible says there's angels right now locked up, chained up in the river Euphrates, four of them, for a day, an hour, for judgment. So this world constantly, people getting more bolder and bolder against God. You think about this. God made everything. God made man. God gave man a living soul, made him a living soul. God giving him a food to eat. I mean, man has all these things to enjoy, and then man turns around and says, I don't even believe there's God. Blankety blank God. I told God what to do, blah, blah, blah. And God's merciful and long-suffering. Over in the book of Revelation, you'll find where an angel turns around and says to God, you're merciful, God. You're doing what's right against man. Man's been going against God for thousands of years. God tells them this. They tell God where to get off at. God made them. Now the angel of the water, angel over the water. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord. See there? The angel saying, Lord, you're right. You're righteous. You're right in what you're doing. You know, whatever, I've always said this, whatever judgment God brings upon me, he's right. Whatever judgment he brings on you, he's right. He's always right. And what are you going to do? You going to try to prove him wrong? And there's not a man on this earth, on this planet, the only one that could say that he was unjustly, but God placed the sins of the whole world upon him. His name is Jesus Christ. He was the only one. And that's why he died for you, paid your sin. No man could stand before God and say, you did me wrong. Nobody. In any situation, you wouldn't be able to stand before God and say, you've done me wrong. God doesn't do people wrong. God is always right. The Bible says, shall not the God of all the earth do right? He's going to do right by you. But are we going to do right by him? That's what I want to do. I want to do right by him. That's my purpose. My goal is I want to do right by him. I want to honor him. I want to love him. I want to serve him. That's what we all want to do. We all want to. Faith Baptist Church, what we ought to do, we want to honor him and serve him. Do right by him. People get mad at God. You know, somebody I talk to people and they say, you know, so-and-so's bitter and they're mad at God. So-and-so's bitter and they're mad at God. And I think that's just a stupid excuse. You're mad at God about what? Well, I've had people tell me, I'm mad at God. He took my mother. He took my father. He took my son. He took my child. I'm going to say, hey, man, you can't, shall not the God of all the earth do right? God gives you, Paul said, Lord, take this thing from me. I'm serving you. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You got to make up your mind. Are you going to serve him no matter what? No matter what? Honor him. Love him. No matter what. You say, well, what if God does it? I don't even want to hear that. If he does whatever he does, he does right. In my life, your life. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I don't ever want to go through something like that. I never want to go through that. I pray God. That's why I pray for my children, pray for my grandchildren all the time. I pray for my nephew and his children. I pray for other people that I know. I pray for their children and families, our church family. I go through here and look at all these kids. I pray for these kids. I want these kids to enjoy church. I want them to love. I got a blessing out of some people. They tell me, oh, I took my kids to some other church, and they didn't like it. They want to come back here. I said, praise the Lord. I want them to know we love them and we care about them. And we want to see them succeed. I want to see kids grow up and love God and be happy, serving the Lord. Amen. Where was I? I heard verse 7. I heard another out of the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." See, the angel's telling God, "You're right, God." It's almost like, looks like, you know, God's sitting on the throne. He's got second thought, but he doesn't. But the angel's turning around saying, "You're right, God. You're right when you do." You know, when that Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his son. What do? They kill him. He gives mercy. He gives grace. What do? They spit on him. Every time God does something, and then when everything bad goes, they blame him. They never blame the devil. They never blame Buddha. Never blame Muhammad. Never blame anybody else, but they blame God, the one that died for him and loved him and still loves him, still takes care of him. You think about it. We're breathing God's air. Just think of God said, "Okay, that's it. Cut an arrow." We're breathing God's air. We're eating food. We got more in America. We got so much blessings. We got so many things. And Americans are probably the most spoiled brats there are in the world, that we complain about everything. And if we don't get our way, we throw a fit. We're the worst when it comes to God's children. We're the worst of complainers and not wanting to serve him. We're the worst. I read stories about people went through hell, man. And I mean, just recent stories. People go through hell for Jesus Christ and never complain. Never said, "God, why are you doing? Why? They never did that. They just say, "God, thank you for your mercy." And I think you can't go wrong by thanking him. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, it says, "And they became unthankful." God's blessed us so much. Then when you don't get your little way on the little thing we want, and we get mad at God, and we turn our back on him and say, "Blank him." That's the way the world is. They have always been that way. And that's the way we are sometimes as Christians. I don't understand Christians going astray. I mean, I realize we're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. I don't understand. I just don't understand knowing, if you know this book, and knowing, I got friends I went to Bible school with, and they're not doing nothing for God. Not going to church. They're not doing anything. 20 years. I don't understand that. I don't understand a man that's learned the word of God, a woman that learned the word of God, and then they, knowing how much God cares and how much God takes care of his people, and then they turn their back and say, "I ain't going to serve him." I pray I never will understand it. I don't want to ever get to the place that I say, "Oh, yeah, I understand now." I don't want that. God help me. God help us. Amen. We're going to have to stop right there. We'll get into chapter 16 next time.